The world is full of sounds that warn you about danger. Like if you get a little too close to a rattlesnake, you'll hear a rattle. But in the digital world, if your personal information is in danger, there's no rattling sound to let you know you might be in trouble. Good thing LifeLock has added the power of Norton Security to see more cyber threats. Whether it's potential threats to your identity, like your personal information for sale on the dark web, or threats to your devices like malware or emerging viruses. If you have a problem, their agents will work to fix it. Of course, no one can stop every cyber threat or prevent identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. But LifeLock with Norton can detect a wide range of threats that could sneak up on you. Join now, get an extra 10% off your first year. Just go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and enter the promo code BONES. Promo code is BONES. Be sure to enter that. LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK and enter the promo code BONES. Promo code BONES, get 10% off. I love it. LifeLock.com. All right, welcome to episode 152 of the Bobbycast. We're in Los Angeles for the iHeartRadio Podcast Awards, and we're in a hotel doing the show before I have to go over. But a lot of the companies in town because it's the first ever podcast awards, and now our app, the iHeartRadio app, has, I think, every podcast.
Yeah.
I think it has every, whenever you load a podcast, I think this is one of the places that they all go. And I know that our company's now the biggest commercial podcaster, period. So we have this big awards show. It's the first time, and I'm hosting it with Charlamagne the God. And our CEO's coming to town, and our CFO's coming to town. So it's two guys that run the company. And so they sent me a menu that we're having dinner tonight, me, Charlamagne, Bob Pittman, Rich Bressler, after the show. And they said, hey, and I guess this is what rich people do.
Okay.
They send the menu and you order it ahead of time. I should start to do this with you guys because I hate sitting there waiting just at dinner forever. So, or maybe it's just what efficient people do.
It makes sense.
So I'm looking at the menu. We're having dinner at a Wolfgang Puck's tonight. And the first thing on the menu is caviar. And I don't have to order it, but it's on here. And I thought about ordering it because I don't know who's paying for it. I'm sure the company is. But one of them is the Golden Assatiere Caviar, $255.
For caviar?
Soft and balanced flavors with a hint of cucumber.
Is that for one person?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I just wonder what they would think if I ordered this. Like if I, because I sent my order back already.
Okay.
The order that I sent back was pretty easy. I ordered
chicken fried steak.
No, they didn't have that. I got some potato and leek soup, and I got the wiener schnitzel. I don't even know what that is, honestly.
I didn't know that's a real thing.
Yeah, I got some sort of wiener schnitzel for the fancy dinner tonight. I got the Macho Farms wiener schnitzel. The other options were heavy, heavy red meat stuff. Like, and I would have got it, but I'm just trying to, I got to go be on the beach next week for American Idol in Hawaii, and I don't want to be, you know, while I'm out there. But yeah, I got the wiener schnitzel and the potato leek soup. I just wondered if I would have sent back for the $255 caviar, what their response would have been.
I've never even seen caviar in person.
I have. I've been to a couple fancy dinners where they've had it there. And it's actually really good. And not so much the caviar, but they bring these little pancakes out. And I think you're supposed to like the caviar. So I'll say really good. I would just eat the pancakes. Because you're supposed to put the caviar on the little bitty pancakes. But at the end, I would just eat the pancakes. And sometimes they bring cheese. So sometimes at the fancy things that I'll get invited to a couple times a year, they'll have caviar there. And I'll have like one thing of caviar, but then tiny pancakes. And like they have like syrup. It's good. Like the stuff around the caviar is good. So we're doing this show for a couple reasons. One, you know, this week was kind of weird. Like 4 days in a row for different things. I've been in Us Weekly or People, or it's been a nutty week because of all of the things that have happened. I just wanted to address all four of them here before we run over to the podcast, or to the awards. Do I need to go to a break first or no?
No, you're good.
Okay. So we'll start with Monday night. We had our Raging Idiots Million Dollar Show, which is pretty freaking cool. And People Magazine came out and picked it up because there were so many stars there. And what's happened is I have a band, a comedy band, which, you know, we have sold a decent amount of records kind of quietly. Not records aren't, I don't even know if they're that, they're not even that good. It's fine. Like we have a couple songs that are funny, but we do the show every year, and I just invite artists out. And this year was probably the coolest year because everybody just stayed and we all sang at the very end. But Luke Bryan came out, Lady Antebellum came out, Cole Swindell, Gavin DeGraw, Lindsay L, Sharna, my dance partner. I think of everyone though, the two people in order of the biggest cheers, Who do you think was number one of the night? Like when they walked out on the stage.
Probably Sharna.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was out there for all of the introductions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sharna was the biggest. And
place
I think
went crazy, yeah.
Because people were invested in her and us in that show. So it's a very personal thing for her to come out. Like everybody loves Luke Bryan. He's the biggest thing in country music. Mm-hmm. But you just love Luke Bryan. But it's not super personal because you don't sit and watch Luke and make an appointment to watch Luke every week. You enjoy his music. You follow him on Instagram. I think the Sharna thing, because of me, everybody was super personally invested in. And she came out, and she was surprised. Because, again, we had practiced a couple dances, and we went the night before, and I couldn't tell listeners she was coming to town because she was a surprise. And we went to a dance studio, and we practiced, and all of that anxiety came just flooding back in. Immediately. And I kind of knew them a little bit, and then we came out, and she came out, and I was like, and here's Sharna Burgess, and they were like, ah, we're going crazy. She comes out, and we do a couple dances, and the crowd just started cheering, Sharna. It was the only time that the crowd went into a complete chant of someone's name. And so she grabbed the mic and started talking, and I was talking a little bit, and then she sat on the side stage and watched and, like, Instagrammed the whole show. For her, it was crazy to see people, like, care so much. Because I think she's used to being, kind of famous. Mm-hmm. But for people to, like, an entire auditorium, thousands of people, it was just a lot of love coming down on her. And it was really cool to see. She enjoyed it. I would put her one. You know who got a huge pop was Lindsay.
Yeah, she did.
I would put her number two. Again, I think people were so emotionally invested in Lindsay because we were together for such a long time. And so when Lindsay L came out, she wasn't even supposed to be one of the people announced on the show that night, but she was there. She had a lot of friends that were playing, including myself and Christian Bush, who did a record, and she was on the side. And we actually, because I'm super efficient, even though that show was so crazy, we were ahead on time. Mm-hmm. And shows like that are never on time. And we had like 12 or 13 minutes before the next person. I was like, you should come out and play. And she was like, she's like, okay. And then she came out and played, and the crowd went crazy. People Magazine picked up the part of the story where I was like, all right, this is awkward.
Yeah.
Let me bring out Mag's girlfriend. And I was like, how's your mom? You still from Canada? So that was good. And then Luke was a huge ovation because he's freaking Luke Bryan. All the big artists had great ones. I mean, Three Doors Down, that was so fun for me. So that was a big event. And we raised a couple $100,000 for St. Jude. And then on top of that, I didn't know this because I don't keep track of it, but we hit $10 million total for St. Jude, which is pretty hefty, That's a lot of money. And so I didn't donate all that money. That's the listeners that donated all that money. So we raised $10 million. So I was pretty proud of that. And that was a big story in People Magazine, and they had some of the country blogs, like Taste of Country, ran the video of us all singing Stand By Me at the end up on the stage.
That was awesome.
That was awesome because we were about to finish the show, and I said to a couple people, hey, we're going to do another song at the end, because usually we'll just go home after the last few years that have been Keith Urban played last, or Chris Stapleton played last, or Garth played last, and we just go home because how do you beat that? And I was like, well, let's just play a song, get the crowd singing. And a lot of people didn't go home, and so I was like, come on. And then everybody came out. Some of the patients from St. Jude, Sharna, Luke, Cole Swindell, Gavin DeGraw. And Gavin is such a good singer. He's such a good, so strong. So I thought that was good. That was the first thing that got put in the news for a good reason. I thought that was pretty cool. Then there was a big story, a couple of stories about me being the next Bachelor, which was funny to see. And here's the thing about that too. If it were already decided and I had to be quiet about it, I wouldn't be posting it on social media. I'm not saying that there haven't been conversations about it. I'm not saying there have been. But if it were already decided, I wouldn't take in screen. Like, I didn't put anything up about Dancing with the Stars before I went on. I just shut up about it. Mm-hmm. And if ever I totally shut up about it and I won't talk about it at all, it's probably because there's a reason I'm not talking about it. So this article came out from Radar Online and a couple other publications. It was like, hey, ABC's trying to woo. I don't know exactly how you woo someone, Bobby Bones, to be the next Bachelor. And so I posted the story, thought it was funny. I did see some of the ABC executives like my post on Instagram, which was kind of funny.
I was looking for this. I didn't see any.
Yeah, there are a couple on there that liked the post. And so a lot of listeners were very, very, very against it. And you would look at the comments on my Instagram. We can't believe you would do this. You're better than this. First of all, I'm not better than that. I'm not better than anything. I don't know where people get this idea that, I'm
Pope Bobby Paul III, but I'm not better than that. Secondly, I wouldn't do the show if any of my integrity had to be put up. And I would just do it my way. I've done everything else my way. You know, when I went to country, oh, you don't know what you're doing. I was like, well, I'm going to do it my way. When I went on Dancing with the Stars, when I do anything, I always do it, you know, how I feel it would be the most comfortable for me to do. And so if I were to do the show, I would only do it if I were able to do it my way. And if we weren't able to come to an agreement, then I wouldn't do the show. Because, and again, I also have a skill set that I've built over years and years and years that's finally paying off for me. It would be tough to go and just hop on The Bachelor and just be known as one of the people from The Bachelor. Because you don't know about them, anything that they're good at, except for being good looking and having a couple abs. And I really don't have any abs. I have skinny man abs. I actually have, that's my my vertebrae that you see coming through my stomach more than anything. So, I'd have to work. They've never let anyone work while on that show. They'd have to let me have a radio studio, and I'd have to work every morning while I was doing that show. Two, yeah, I would actually need a little bit of say what kind of girls they would bring on the show. But for people to get so mad because I'd be considering something, I don't think that's fair to me, because I really haven't ever put myself in a situation that questioned, you know, my beliefs, for lack of a better word. So if I were to do it, I don't need anybody to get upset at me. But I'm not saying I'm doing it. It's not even... And for that story to come out right now, right when this other season is starting, I don't know why they would even float that out.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Yeah, Colton, that's his name.
Like, yeah, like 2 weeks in.
It's just started.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm not committing either way to it now, because I'm actually talking about a lot of different shows, which is kind of cool. And I'm just starting American Idol, too. I mean, we shot before Christmas, and, you know, I go to Hawaii next week and start shooting out there as a full-time mentor. But... you know, I sat in a meeting yesterday. We got to Los Angeles. I flew right to my agent's office, which I'm represented by CAA for music in Nashville, but for television in Los Angeles and New York. And we sat there, and there was a room full of like 8 different departments, and they all were just pitching ideas, which is pretty cool, because no one's ever thought I was cool, ever. I've always had to like prove to people that I'm cool, and they still don't believe it, but they go, okay, there's some value anyway. And so now I'm sitting in a room, and they're going, okay, we have Dancing with the Stars. You know, it's off of Miss America. You're a full-time American Idol. Do you want to do this? Do you want to do this? And so we went through all that yesterday. So that's pretty cool. But as far as The Bachelor goes, if anyone's questioning if I did do it, I wouldn't just go and bang a bunch of chicks on camera. I just wouldn't do that, just because all that stuff lasts. How can I be governor of Arkansas if I'm on camera banging a bunch of chicks? Or maybe I could. I mean, it's like, but... yeah, that's the deal with The Bachelor. It's just so premature anyway. And don't they go Bachelorette right after Bachelor?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Don't they pick... and they usually ever rotate people from the show. But maybe they're tired of that. I don't know. I do have a great relationship with ABC. I do love working at ABC. And, you know, not only am I doing the stuff that I've been doing, but they also, you know, have given me... money to develop shows, which is pretty cool, because I signed a network deal with them, which is crazy because I've been like grinding and struggling. There were two years I would come to town every other weekend and just beg for meetings with people. Nobody even talked to me. It's crazy how you go from nobody cares. You do one little thing right, and then all of a sudden you're cool, and everybody cares until you're not cool anymore. And I know my window is not going to last very long at this out here, so now I'm just trying to grab everything I can grab until... I'm not saying that's the Bachelor's part of it. But I'm trying to grab everything I can grab until I'm not cool anymore to them. So there was that, the Bachelor thing. Should I go to commercial?
Yeah.
Okay, let me go to commercial real quick.
I love a lot of things, right? Listen, I love sleep. I don't always get the most, but when I do, I love it so much, and that's why my Sleep Number bed is so important to me. I'll tell you this, that when I travel a lot, right? When I'm in hotels, I always miss my Sleep Number, because when I go home, I sleep so good. The new Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps everyone from people like me to parents to pro athletes improve their daily performance through that proven quality sleep. And maybe you have a bed now and you disagree on, you know, what the firmness is. The Sleep Number 360 smart bed lets you choose your ideal firmness on each side, so it's right for both of you, you know, because so many couples disagree on mattress firmness. Go in now during the January savings event and save up to $500 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Visit sleepnumber.com/bones to find the one nearest you. Sleepnumber.com/bones. Find the store near you.
Okay, so one was The Raging Idiot Show. Mm-hmm. Two was Am I Going to Be the Bachelor? Three, the Wells Adams, which is totally weird that he would come after me. So here's what happened. And I like Wells, and you're not going to get me saying anything bad about him here. I was a little irritated that he lied on one part of his podcast. And I've never listened to his podcast, but I do like him. I have no problem with him. Even now, I don't have a problem with him. And I do a radio show for 5 hours a day for 5 days, 25 hours a week. You're talking 125 hours a week of me having to talk, basically. And I say a lot of things, too, that come out. And I wish I didn't say that, or I was wrong about it. So for me to jump on somebody for saying something, or even lying about something, because maybe he didn't remember right. But Wells Adams, who I don't even really know from The Bachelor, I know from us pulling into the garage at the same time in Nashville, because he's a local radio guy, and he did afternoons on the rock station?
Yeah, I think he does mornings on the rock station now.
Okay. So he went and did The Bachelorette, Okay, he went to The Bachelorette. He didn't win, but he came back. And what I remember is like 7 or 8 times someone had come to me and said, hey, you should put Wells Adams on your show. And I was like, well, we don't really do The Bachelor stuff. We don't really talk about The Bachelor that much. We don't have, because those Bachelor people get offered all the time. And so finally I was like, you know, I like Wells. Let's bring him in. And he comes in. We've always been super friendly. We don't really know each other that well. But he comes in, and the first thing that he says on his podcast was, the first thing I asked him was, are you gay? Not true. The interview exists that you can watch, is the problem with what he's saying. You can actually go and watch the interview. And I didn't just say, are you gay? I compared it to me, because I've been single. I'm in my 30s. I'm thin. I'm clean. And people always ask me if I'm gay. They're like, are you secretly gay, right? And I was like, do you get that? Are you gay? Because I get that. It was never a, are you gay? I would never do that. I was talking to Merritt Morris last night. We went to a show in Los Angeles, and she was like, I've read that article. You would never ask somebody that like that. And I was like, no, I would never do that. Unless they were like, hey, ask me if I'm gay as soon as I walk in. Then I would do that. But I would never – that's just not the kind of show that I do. And so I didn't – you can actually see the video and watch the interview, and it wasn't even the first thing that I talked to him about. I think he was in for a few minutes talking before that. So that was factually inaccurate. That was just a it was just a lie. He may not have known he was lying. He may remember it differently, but it exists that you can actually see in. Like, you can take the pen and make the data points. So there was that. I actually never said anything about his. Did you? I didn't listen to us talk. Did you listen back to us?
To it, yeah.
Okay, tell me your thoughts, because he got upset that I think Lunchbox said that his girlfriend, who is on Modern Family, was going to buy his ring.
That's what he was mainly upset about.
Did I say that?
No, Lunchbox said it.
Okay, did I say against that he probably... What did I say? Because I know what I would have said in my head right now. I'd have been like, Lunchbox, shut up. And I would have laughed because Lunchbox is ridiculous.
Yeah, the whole segment was Lunchbox being ridiculous and saying, bringing up that article. And he's like, oh, he has a maid now.
Yeah.
And then you and Amy were just like, you're ridiculous, Lunchbox. But it was all Lunchbox's claims from that story that came out about them possibly being engaged.
Was I contradicting Lunchbox's thought, going like, that's probably not true, or was I just kind of writing it out?
You said you like Wells in the clip.
Okay, because I didn't listen back. I never listened back. I do like Wells. Somehow this will get to him. He'll hear this. Dude, I have no interest. I want to feud with somebody like Kanye. I want to feud with somebody big and cool, because I'm not big and cool. I'm not trying to feud with another radio guy. And the fact that he made fun of my radio voice. I have the worst radio voice ever. And he was like, well, buddy, come on.
Are you good?
So I have no beef with that dude. I actually like the guy. Is there anything else from that I need to address?
I think that was the main thing. And then he brought up something that Lunchbox talked about, an article that didn't exist, but that article did exist.
Oh, where he moved into her house?
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, I didn't bring it up. I really didn't have an interest in the story anyway. And then I liked the guy, so I was like, Lunchbox, that's not true. So as much as I used to like to get into fights with people publicly, this is just not one that I want to be in. So that's that part of it. Is there anything about that I need to address you're thinking about now?
I think that was it.
And I was going to talk about it on the air this morning, and even I told you, I was like, ugh, that's just not me. right now. I'm not pissed. If I get pissed off about something, I tend to go a little overboard. I tend to burn people hard, and I don't like that version of me. So, and I could have done that. I mean, he's been a local guy. I know lots of things. He probably knows lots of things, you know. So, Wells, you're probably hearing this, buddy. I got nothing toward you. If anything, start a beef with Lunchbox. You guys go box it out or something.
That'd be a good beef.
Right. You two go at it. We even have mutual friends. I know Amy felt bad about it, too.
But she did.
Yeah. I even feel bad about it. I don't want someone to feel like... And I think one of the things that I saw was, like, he said, nice to meet you behind my back, and then...
That's what got Amy, yeah.
What he said, nice to meet you in my face, and then, no, I'm nice to you behind your back, too, goober. You know, I like you. What do you want me to say? You are liked. Do you feel good? You're liked. So, that was another thing in the old Us Weekly.
Yeah.
Page 6, all those stories. It's been crazy because as soon as I came off Dancing with the Stars, there've been a lot of those goofy stories, sometimes just made up. They just find ways to insert me into stories. This other one about Sharna's dance partners, she came on my show, and she was like, yeah, one of my dance partners tried to hook up with me. And that was on the news today. And it was like Bobby Bones and Sharna talk about. And I was like, dang, it's 4 days in a row. I've been somehow been in one of these publications for 4 days in a row. Pretty cool. And I will not tell her secrets. But I think that the story was that she had mentioned one of her partners was trying to bang her the whole time they were together. Actually, one of them was really trying to bang her, but most of them have tried to have sex with her, I think. I know so. I didn't. I told you we had the conversation really early.
Yeah.
That I brought her to the house and we were having dinner early on. Like the first night she was in town. And I said, hey, we're going to be close, right? Like, we're together a lot. And she's like, yeah, a lot, especially if we go far. And I was like, well, I don't plan on not going far, but I don't know how to dance. So if in any way I'm trying to like have sex with you, I'm not going to be able to think clearly about having to dance. If I'm trying to be cool or flirt, then I can't actually be super vulnerable and going, I don't know what I'm doing. Please teach me how to dance. And I was like, I'm not going to flirt with you. She didn't want me to flirt with her. It was very understood very early on. Like, I'm not going to try to have sex with you. Nothing. So it definitely wasn't me she was talking about. How funny would that have been? She was saying that it was about me. I know who it was about. She's had a couple partners that I don't think she got along with as well as others. Maybe not got along with isn't the word. But yeah, that's it. I wanted to address those things as we were sitting here on a podcast about to go to the Podcast Awards. Anything else that I need to address?
I think that's all the articles this week.
I know, right?
It's like one a day.
So I would encourage you too to check out the Jake Owen podcast on this last episode. It's really good. Jake comes in and, I mean, he broke a bunch of news and he's just a good interview and just puts it all out there. Got my clothes. I'm about to go over and get in my trailer, walk through a script read through. And I think that was it. I was talking to Charlamagne about his R. Kelly. Did you watch the R. Kelly documentary?
No, I
didn't. I didn't either. I need to now, and I wasn't going to, but I need to now because everybody's talking about it like crazy. But apparently he was one of the ones to speak out against R. Kelly on the show. And I was talking to him. He's like, man, I got some crazy backlash. I was like, how'd you get backlash if you're talking about somebody so bad? And it's not a story that I should tell, but because that's his story. But, you know, it just goes to show that if you have an opinion whatsoever at any point, a lot of people are going to disagree with you. And this is the conversation I had with Sharna too, that she was like, man, you know, I'm getting weird backlash about things. And I said, it's not weird backlash, but the higher your pedestal goes, the more people see you. And the more people see you, you're actually hearing that larger percentage of negativity just based on the numbers of people that are seeing you. I said, so it's no different. If only 10 people see you and 2 people hate you, that's only 2 people. But if 10 million people see you and 200,000 people hate you, that feels like a lot of hate. Same percentage, but it feels like a lot of hate. And so I've been lucky enough that I've come through just being hated on my entire career because I've always done it different. You know, from just to go back to the radio voice thing, I never had a good radio voice. People are like, you don't deserve to be on the radio, to I was doing hip-hop, you're not hip-hop, to going country, you're not country, to everything. Even people in my industry, you know, I've done it so differently. There are a lot of people that speak out and go, you know, what you're doing is hurting the industry. But, you know, if you're not making people feel a certain way, you're not going to continue to... Oh, I got something in my eye. I think I got a bug or something just flying in my eye. Well, my whole point is that to get people to love you, for that same reason, people are not going to love you, and you have to get used to that. especially even at work on a smaller level, if you're in a job and you're killing it and you're doing great and you're meeting your quotas and you're getting promoted and everything's going great, you don't think two other people are secretly super resentful, maybe not even toward you, but because they're not able to do it or because they haven't made the right decisions to do it yet, then you're nuts, because that's obviously happening. Do we have to go? You keep looking at your thing.
No, we're good. Just looking at...
Well, our driver, how fancy are we? Our driver just texted me and said, Tim, the limo driver is here. It's not even a limo. It's funny. It says, hi, this is Tim, the limo driver, waiting to pick you up. It's a truck. It's not even a limo. Maybe that's just the thing. If you drive a black truck, you're a limo driver.
It's a limo.
Okay, we're going to load this up. Check out Amy's I did a spot on Amy's podcast. Yeah. Haven't heard it back. It's called Four Things with Amy Brown, where I talk about vulnerability a little bit. Tell your friends about this podcast if you don't mind. The artist ones are really good, and I think that's going to wrap it up. Wait, another spot or no?
No, we're good.
All right, that's it. Episode
152.
152. We will title this one, Will Bobby Be the Bachelor and Bobby's Beef with the Bachelor contestant?
All right.
That way people will click on it.
That's clickable.
There is no beef. But, all right, there you go. All right, thanks, guys. Bye.